السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيبي إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وكذلك جعلنا لكل نبي عدوا شياطين الإنس والجن يوحي بعضهم إلى بعض زخرف القول غرورا ولو شاء ربك ما فعلوه فذرهم وما يفترون. صدق الله العلي العظيم، وصلوا على محمد وآل محمد. سورة الأنعام chapter number 6 verse 112 begins with the following statement: Thus we have made for every prophet an enemy, Satans from among mankind and jinn. And here there's a general rule which is stated that's backed by a divine purpose. And that is that every prophet, every messenger that has been sent by God receives acceptance but also receives opposition. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ عَدُوًّا. So we have made, God says, for every Nabi, every messenger, an adu, who is an enemy, or someone to oppose them. And it says what kind. So who has been created to oppose them? Shayateen al-insi wal-jinn. So the term that describes them is shayateen, Satans. But it's in plural, so it's more than one. So we know that it's not just the shaitan that we know, that we talk about, the shaitan, Iblis, in English, Lucifer, if you've heard that name, that term, in the biblical context is referred to as Lucifer. This is Iblis. The Quran talks about multiple shayateen, so shaitan in the plural. And some of those shayateen, these mischievous beings, are in the form of ins, which is human beings like ourselves, and jinn, which is another type of creation that God created from fire. He created human beings out of clay, the angels out of light, and the jinn out of fire. And that was the initial reason why Iblis saw himself superior to Adam, because of what he was created. He said, "You created me from fire, and you created him from clay. And fire is more superior to clay. So why should I, someone who is made of something more superior, bow down to someone or something that's created of something which is inferior or of less superiority?" That was his whole argument, why he refused to prostrate. But the Quran talks about a number of shayateen. And this word, shaytan, is used in a plural form in a number of areas. It's not just in this verse. But here it's saying that every messenger, so everyone that we send with a message, they're going to face opposition. And this challenge is there's a divine rule, there's a divine wisdom behind it. And that's that these people who have a very important task ahead of them, in order to enjoy the status of prophethood or messengerhood, they have to face challenges and they have to fight for it, meaning that it's not going to come easy. And that's how it is in life. Anything which is significant, you have to face a challenge. And it's interesting because as human beings, when we face a challenge and when we overcome that challenge, whatever comes out of that, whatever we earn out of that as a result, we esteem and we value much more. Generally, when people are handed something, and of course there are always exceptions to the rule, but if you see families where children are just handed everything, they don't have to fight for anything, they don't have to earn anything, usually they don't esteem it as much as people who had to fight and earn. And of course, there are always exceptions to the rule. So in order to earn something, God says, we have to go through a period of growth by overcoming certain challenges. And that's why some people, they say that that's the entire philosophy behind this world. God created heaven and hell, and he created this world, and he's our creator. He created the system. He could have placed all of us in heaven, every single person. Just put them in heaven. Why go through the challenges of this world? That's because as human beings, this setup that we have, in order to truly esteem something, we have to earn it. We have to fight for it. And that's why all of the descriptions of the paradise that we read in the Quran, when the Quran speaks on behalf of these people, it's a sign of relief that finally we've reached the stage after this life that we've gone through. So usually we have to overcome. We have to overcome challenges. And in the case of the prophets and the messengers, sometimes that first level of obstacles or that first level of challenge comes from within the family. It comes from the people who are closest to them, which certainly is the case with, you find Prophet Adam, his son, Qabil, who did not follow his example. You find in the case of the two prophets, Nuh and Lut, Haj Samir was reciting from Surah Tahrim, and towards the end of that verse, God gives the example of two examples, or it's actually more than two examples. So one is the example of Nuh and Lut, whose wives were wives of prophets, they were wives of messengers. But God said that it didn't come to their avail, it didn't benefit them, because they didn't follow the message. And on the other hand, you had the wife of the Pharaoh, Fir'aun, Asiya, whose husband was a godless heathen, but she was a good lady. And so God rescued her from him, from ending up in the same place as him. And also the example of Sayyidah Maryam alayhi salam. So sometimes that resistance and that opposition, that challenge comes from within, it comes from the family. And so with our prophet, you have one of the first people to turn against him was who? His uncle, Abu Lahab. This guy that's his uncle and who's supposed to support him. Usually family is supposed to support you, but sometimes family can go against you. And sometimes when you're stepping out of the norm and you're doing something significant, you have to be prepared to take opposition from sometimes your own family members. I see it a lot with young people. See, in our community, if you're from, you know, the Middle East or South Asia, when you're born, there's a contract you need to sign. It says doctor, lawyer, engineer. Pick one. Before you can even go to school, you have to pick one. When you want to get married, you have to find a man who is either a doctor, a lawyer, or an engineer. And we have, if you look at our community, we actually have the highest percentage of physicians out of any community, which is great. Because in the United States, in the next coming years, there's going to be a shortage of doctors. But if you look at other communities that are progressing, they didn't invest their entire energy into becoming doctors, lawyers, and engineers. Some of them became journalists and politicians and entrepreneurs and people of impact. And so when you venture outside of that, there are some young people who've confided in me, they say, I hate this material that I'm studying. I have no interest in being a doctor at all. But it's because it's going to make my parents happy. So as soon as you step out of the norm sometimes, you face challenge from people who are closest to you, sometimes people even that you look up to. You know, there's something that I was watching the other day, and many of you know the name Elon Musk, the current Iron Man, the guy who created Tesla and SpaceX and all these companies. And he was talking about his journey and his challenges. And he was being interviewed, and a part of the interview, he had tears in his eyes because he was saying that there are people that I look up to that think I'm crazy. These are people that I actually look up to. But when they see what we're going to do, that we plan to shoot a rocket to Mars in the next few years and colonize Mars and do all this stuff, which they're on their way to doing right now, some people that I look up to, that I respect and admire, they think I'm crazy because you're doing something else. So the first challenge that you have to face sometimes is within your own family member. The Prophet did the same. Surah At-Tahrim, it speaks about the wives that challenged him. And the Quran says that if they persist and they continue, that it's not a problem for God to switch them with wives that are obedient, that will not challenge. It's not a big deal for God to do something like this. So that's the first step, God says. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيًا عَدُوًا شَيَاطِينَ الْإِنسِ وَالْجِنِ. So we created for not only you, Ya Rasulullah, but even the prophets that came before you, they had to overcome. And that's how they grew internally. See, whenever you're not challenged, and some people, you see them today, they're not challenged by their work, they're not challenged by anything, and so they feel no need to grow. But when you're challenged with something, you feel the need to grow in order to conquer that challenge. And when you overcome, you begin to esteem it, you begin to value it much more. And that's the sunnah of the prophets. So that's to test how serious they are. I mean, imagine if someone of the stature of the prophet, or someone like the prophet, buckled under pressure and said, you know what, forget about all this stuff. I can sit at home and no one will bother me. And I'll have what I want, which is the offer that the Prophet received. They told him, what do you want? You want women? We'll give you women. You want treasure? We'll give you treasure. What you want? Fame? We'll give you fame. Glory? We'll give you all of that. And he said, if they give me the sun and moon in my right and left hands, I won't give up. That's fulfillment and that's contentment. He knew what he had his hands on. He knew how valuable the message was. And so, when you look at anything you want to do in life, your determination is proportionate to understanding the value of what you're about to do. And so if you don't esteem and you don't value, someone can come and give you negative, or you'll have that uncle, like the Prophet had uncle, Abu Lahab, who'll say, stop, give up. You're silly. And you'll stop. And you won't overcome the challenge. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ عَدُوًا شَيَاطِينَ الْإِنسِ وَالْجِنِ يُوحِي بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ زُخْرُفَ الْقَوْلِ. So it talks about human beings. So these people that oppose the messengers, shayateen, but they come in the form of human beings. And we know the challenges that the Prophet faced. In fact, there's an entire chapter which is dedicated to that subject, Surah Al-Munafiqun, the chapter on the hypocrites, which comes directly after. Which surah? Comes directly after Surah Al-Jum'ah. Comes Surah Al-Munafiqun. The hypocrites. And those hypocrites come to the Prophet. In the beginning, the chapter says that they'll come to you and they'll say that we have belief in our hearts. And we testify that you're the messenger of God. And then God says in that verse that God knows that you're His messenger, but God knows what's in their hearts. That they are munafiqun. That there's hypocrisy in their hearts. And in another chapter in the Quran, God tells the Prophet that there are a number of these hypocrites around you, and you, Ya Rasulullah, some of them you don't even recognize. You don't even know who they are. We haven't even revealed them to you. We haven't even revealed them to you. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So these people are shayateen. When we describe, I mean, if you've ever been growing up, if somebody has ever called you a shaitan, this is where it comes from. That a shaitan can also come in in a human form. In one of the commentaries, it quotes one of the scholars. It says that, so this verse says, shayateen al-insi wal-jinn. So the shaitan comes in two forms, ins, human being, ins, insan, human being, and jinn. It comes in two forms, these troublemakers. And the scholar was saying that, you know, sometimes the human shaitan is worse than the jinn shaitan. He says, because I have a formula to recite. When I recite it, it blocks out all of the jinn. But there's no formula that you can recite to block out people. Because the shaitan of people, they persist, they stick to you no matter what. They're very persistent. So they can come in the form of human beings, and they can come in the form of jinn. So in other verses of the Quran, it says that shaitan, the shaitan, Iblis, he inspires his armies of the shayateen. So some people, their mischief and their behavior comes from an inspiration from the godfather himself, Iblis, the godfather of the shayateen. So what do? It says, يُوحِي بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ زُخْرُفَ الْقَوْلِ غُرُورًا. So that term, زُخْرُفَ الْقَوْلِ, is translated here as flowery discourse, which means that the language that they use with one another, it looks good, it sounds attractive, but it's devoid of any true meaning. Which means that's the language that they use with one another. And there's something that comes from our tradition, and many of you have heard this before, I've said this a number of times, and it's a phrase that comes directly from Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. When the people that faced them on the battlefield said that there is no authority except the authority of God, what did he say? His reply was, kalimatu haqqin yuradu biha batil. That this word, that there is no authority except to God, is kalimatu haqq. It's true. It's 100% true. In fact, it's the most truest statement. But he said, kalimatu haqqin yuradu biha batil. What is intended from it is batil, is false. And that's why some people, they master the skill. They know how to say something which sounds good and it looks good, but it has no meaning at all. In fact, the meaning is not only not beneficial, but it's harmful if you were to listen to it. And that's why the munafiqun, who are described in that chapter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you see them, تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ, that their shape you will be attracted to, meaning that they look good, they take care of themselves. تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ وَإِنْ يَقُولُوا تَسْمَعْ لِقَوْلِهِمْ. And if they speak, you listen to them, because they have their way with words. And this is, you know, this is very much how the situation was during the time of the Prophet. At a time where people would stand and they would recite poetry, and they would, it was nothing but false meaning. It had no meaning. Some of them would honor their idols and their statues through their poetry. False meaning. It had no meaning. But it sounded very eloquent. And so that's what the meaning of zukhruf al-qawl. So the way that these people communicate with one another, just because they say something, which means that just because you hear something that sounds good, doesn't mean it's the truth. You have to be able to look behind and read the fine print and understand the true meaning. So, زخرف القول غرورا. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ مَا فَعَلُوهُ فَذَرْهُمْ وَمَا يَفْتَرُونَ. He says to him, Ya Rasulullah, this first of all comes from the will of God. Meaning that everything happens with the will of God. There's nothing that happens that's outside the will of God. Now, God doesn't desire to see everything. God doesn't desire to see corruption God doesn't desire for there to be illness, for there to be war, for there to be conflict. But everything happens under the mashi'a. Walau sha'a, sha'a, mashi'a. Meaning, under the will of God. So this is a way of the God telling the Prophet that this is all under control. And then he says something very important to him. He says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ مَا فَعَلُوهُ فَذَرْهُمْ وَمَا يَفْتَرُونَ. How do you respond to them, Ya Rasulullah? And this is really important. The question of how to respond to the shayateen, how to respond to people who are troublemakers, to people who want to cause mischief. Now, first of all, as human beings, our response is always in our control. Always in our control. So when someone says something to us, or when someone does something, we choose to respond in a certain way. That has to be understood. So nobody can make you do something. The reason God is telling the Prophet, فَذَرْهُمْ, leave them alone. He's saying, don't confront them. Just because they challenge you, just because they try to scheme and plot against you, don't return that with the same behavior. Defend yourself. If you have to defend yourself, you defend yourself. But don't return with that same behavior. So someone tries to plot against you, you try to plot against them. Don't worry, God says that if they plot, God will plot against them. He says, فَذَرْهُمْ, meaning, don't confront them. Don't go after them. And this is a lesson for us all. Sometimes there are people that just can't let go. When someone says something to you, or you fall into a debate, or an argument, sometimes you have to prove that you're right and that person is wrong. Have you ever been around those people? They're very annoying people. Sometimes they're within our own family or circle of friends. That they always have to be right about everything. In fact, the way that you prove you're right sometimes is by zipping your lips. You don't say anything. Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says that I have never, listen to this, I have never argued with a fool and won against him, ever. If you argue with a fool, they'll always win against you. Always. Because they always have something to say. Always. So the Quran is telling the Prophet, just leave them alone, confront them. Some people, don't confront them. If you confront them, it's just going to make them worse. It's going to increase them in their ignorance. It's going to increase them in their hostility. So sometimes, and this is a part of, you know, having emotional intelligence, is understanding when to just stop. Stop arguing. Stop confronting people. Stop fighting people. You know, I want to share something. There's a book I'm reading right now, and it's called Crucial Conversations. And it says the following. It says that whenever you get into a conversation, a crucial conversation, which is a conversation where stakes are high and emotions run deep. So if you're talking about politics, for instance, or if you're talking about religion, or if you're talking about a sensitive subject, something that you need to talk about, but it's a sensitive subject. It says the first thing when you go into that conversation is know your heart, meaning that know what you actually want out of that conversation. Because sometimes we engage with someone and we have no idea what we're trying to prove. Because they're loud, instinctively it kicks up something in us that makes us want to be loud. And that's how, as human beings, if you study the evolution of human beings over, you know, thousands of years, that's how we're genetically hardwired. Our ancestors, they had to defend themselves against wolves, and they had to defend themselves against, you know, we only became sedentary very recently in our history. And so we're genetically hardwired to be confrontational or to be defensive. So the first thing that you have to do is you have to hack your brain. And you have to stop yourself if you get emotional. Because you have to know, what is the purpose of me engaging with this person? See, whenever the Prophet or any one of the Imams engaged with someone, they knew exactly what the purpose was. Their speech was not lahu. It wasn't in vain. It wasn't abath, meaning purpose, purposeless. So the Quran tells the Prophet that if you come across these shayateen, which come in the form of people, and come in the form of jinn. Number one, he tells the Prophet that it's inevitable that you're going to come across people that are going to challenge you. And you have to be able to overcome. Number two, don't engage them. If you know that someone is arguing with you or confronting you for the sake of doing harm, don't engage them. Just leave them alone. فَذَرْهُمْ وَمَا يَفْتَرُونَ Because if you do, you're going to lower from your own status. If you do, you might increase them in their ignorance. You might increase them in their animosity. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in this holy month, to allow us to be among those who follow the example of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wassalam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك قاضي الحاجات إنك على كل شيء قدير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين